So I want to welcome April John.
Hi.
They're working as a developer and sysadmin with interests in federated protocols, safe languages, game engines, and such. But today they're here in their capacity as the developer of a federated microblogging software called Ice Shrimp. I was so close to saying ice weasel right now, but no, there's other ice animals out there, like ice shrimp, for example, and they will talk about what goes into developing in the federated universe. I thought there was a Spider-Man movie, but I think it is not.
No.
although it sounds like one, yeah. And what goes into developing all these federated softwares and potential pitfalls and all that much, and we are very excited to hear from them. Welcome.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, so for the content notes, first I'll just get us all up to track on what the Fediverse is. Then I will talk about the ActivityPub protocol, which powers the Fediverse. Now, then I will go into the different Fediverse softwares and servers and their project politics. And at the end, I will talk a bit about the unused potential of the Fediverse and why it needs to be federated and why it can't be peer-to-peer. Now, at the start, a bit about me. As already said, I'm an Ice Shrimp maintainer. I'm a Linux kernel contributor. And I'm also packaging packages for NixOS. You can find me on the Fediverse at April at fedi.afra.berlin and on Matrix at april.uru.is. Now, about what the Fediverse is. I like to explain it like a big tree. You have a big tree with many different combinations, with many different bubbles. You have a networking bubble, you have an events bubble, you have a writing bubble, you have a music bubble, and you even have a multimedia bubble. And the Fediverse has many different branches. Let's get into that. There are branches with different softwares, and every software has multiple leaves or multiple instances. So for example, one branch is Mastodon, and there are many Mastodon instances out there, and one branch is PixelFed, an alternative to Instagram, and that has also many different instances one can choose from. And when we now go back to the list, you see all these different applications. You have Owncast, PeerTube, Miski, Pleroma, Mastodon, even GNU Social from the Free Software Foundation. And all of this is powered by ActivityPub. Because in 2018, the World Wide Web Consortium sat together and they decided to make a protocol. And they called it ActivityPub. And their vision was a universal standard for any multimedia application out there to communicate between each other, something like email. They imagined when we can have a protocol to send mails from one server to another, why don't we also have a protocol to send videos, to send pictures, to send text from one server to another, and all of that with intercommunication. Nowadays, it is very popular for text-based communication, so for microblogging. And with that, for example, with chaos.social and crimeu.gay, we have two microblogging servers that can send posts from one server to the other. And that works with actors and activities. Actors represent people, video channels, podcasts, you name it. Just some organization, a person, anything. And these actors send activities. Activities are like emails. They can have pictures in them, they can have hashtags, they can have text, anything. The protocol is very open about that. And it can also be interacted with, as you see. So for example, in Ice Shrimp, you can have little emotions you can react with to a post. And you can share them, you can just star them, you can quote them, you can bookmark them. All of that gets federated to your followers. And followers are also just other actors. And we talk about when we already talk about features, we can talk about the softwares. Let's first have a look at the microblogging softwares. We have something like Mastodon. I think everybody sitting in this talk knows about Mastodon. Mastodon is the most popular software we have here. We also have forks of Mastodon that add new features, like Glitchdog, for example. Glitchdog got very popular for adding features like reactions and stuff like that to Mastodon, which then get upstreamed back to Mastodon when they are accepted by Eugen. Then we have Miski, Firefish, and Ice Shrimp, all of three stemming from one code base, the Miski code base, with Firefish being the currently most popular software. And Miski and Firefish are very well known right now for having many features Mastodon lacks. Mastodon gets very criticized for not having features like quotes. For all the people that came from Twitter, they know and remember quotes. Quotes are a feature, so one can share a post of somebody else with a comment added on top. And Mastodon doesn't have that. And Acoma is another software with even more features. Some of them already included in Miski and Firefish, some of them not included there. For example, you have a direct message feature in Acoma, which allows you to basically do a little bit of instant messaging, but it's not really instant messaging because you need to go into the technological side of that. You have it in a technical aspect, you don't have different branches in instant messaging. Instant messaging works like the way you send one message from one person to another, and there is no real history. Like on microblogging, you have comments. You have one blog post or one post, and you can comment onto it. And in Acoma, the direct messaging feature works just like that under the hood, which means when things bug out, you have different branches of direct messages that got sent from one person to the other. And then the server errors out and just drops some messages, and they never get received from the second person. You don't have that in instant messaging. Instant messaging works like that, where you just send a message over Telegram, for example, from person A to person B, and no matter if they at the same time send another message, that message gets received. Now we have also link aggregators like Caven and Lemmy. If you used Reddit before, you will know what link aggregators are. Link aggregators are commonly used, for sharing posts. You have a title and you have some text, you have like a body. And the body can contain pictures, just text, link, and it's mostly used in the old days. It was used in the old days for just sharing blog posts into a community. So you had a community, for example, the communist community, and you could send a blog post about how Stalin was right or something like that. Now Caven and Lemmy try to replicate that by having a community as an actor. This actor then posts all the posts and link aggregations users create in that community as that actor. And no matter which platform you are on, Mastodon, Ice Shrimp, Firefish, Lemmy, Caven, you can actually follow that account or that community and get all these link aggregations. So, for example, in Caven and Lemmy, when you create a community about the Green Party, you can follow that from Mastodon, from Acoma, from Ice Shrimp, no matter what, and you will get all these posts people create in that community in your timeline. And another few good mentions. Who saw my lightning talk before remembers me talking about PostStamp as a link sharer. We also have PeerTube and PixelFed. As I've already mentioned before, the Fediverse has many different bubbles. We have, for example, the PeerTube bubble or the video bubble, the multimedia bubble, where PeerTube is a prominent example as a YouTube replacement. that works actually really nice and really interestingly in a web browser. When you go onto a PeerTube instance, you can watch a video, and that video gets not only streamed from the server, but also from other people who watch that video, because it's using a torrent system. So when you upload a video to PeerTube and 100 people watch it, that video gets streamed from everyone else watching it too, which is very cool, as it doesn't strain the server as much and doesn't require very powerful servers for people to upload their videos to. But there's also a problem. Now imagine an illegal video being uploaded to PeerTube and 1,000 people watching that. Everybody of these 1,000 people act as somebody uploading that video, because in the background it's just a torrent running. And that means that everybody watching that video will make everybody there will get a fine, because the police then knows the IP of everyone who watched the video, and in the eyes of the law, everyone who watched the video is a sharer of that video and thus shared illegal material. Now we also have PixelFed as an Instagram replacement. PixelFed is also very interesting because it tries to replicate all the features Instagram has, which is also instant messaging. That is not implemented yet. In a future talk, I will maybe talk about instant messaging more. But the core features of PixelFed right now are stories and picture sharing. Picture sharing is very easy. You just have an activity which just has a picture and no text. Stories are another interesting thing, as you can imagine it as activities that are there temporarily. You have a temporary activity that can only be viewed by your followers and will get deleted from the server after a special amount of time. It's like on WhatsApp or anywhere else, Instagram, if you're using it, you can make stories where you can write a bit of text, share an image, and it gets shared into your followers, but only for the next 24 hours. Now, what have we missing right now? Right now, we have no real instant messenger on the Fediverse. We don't have a Telegram, we don't have a WhatsApp, we don't have a Signal. We also don't have file sharing platforms. There is no way to share files federatedly over the Fediverse right now. And for all the people who've been on the Fediverse before and have noticed some of the drama surrounding the Fediverse, it's because there is no organized effort of moderation on the Fediverse. What that means is, obviously, that every instance can only block other instances, and there is no central effort or central lists of which instances are bad and which are good. So people will discuss 24/7 if an instance is a good instance or a bad instance. So when instance A, for example, talks about the topic of plants, and instance B only likes meat and doesn't like plants, then they can block instance A. And now instance C needs to decide, is it good that instance B blocked instance A and they should do it too? Or should they block instance B, or should they do nothing? So there is no effort. There is no clear consent on how moderation on the Fediverse looks. So if a Nazi instance, for example, gets spotted, every other instance needs to block that instance themselves. And they don't know that that instance is bad if they don't get told by others. And what's also currently missing on the Fediverse, or at least on some parts of the Fediverse, because all the microblogging platforms already implemented it, is seamless moving. Seamless moving means that what we currently don't have is a way to move one account from one instance to the other. So let's say your account is currently on chaos.social. And you say, I don't like chaos.social anymore. I want my own instance. What you can do on softwares that support it is move your accounts and your posts from chaos.social to your new account. And all your followers, everything gets transferred automatically. Now, there are issues with that. Mastodon, for example, only supports moving followers, not moving posts. IceShrimp and Firefish, for example, support moving posts. But when you now want to migrate to something like GoToSocial, because you say you're a fan of the Free Software Foundation, you are not able to move anything. Your followers, everything needs to manually unfollow your old account and follow your new account. And that is not good for a software, a platform that wants to be independent from everything else. Because at the end, the administrators of your instance have all the power. So if they don't want you to move, they can just prevent you from doing so. And there's nothing you can do against it, except maybe communicating out of the platform that you're now using a new account. And PeerTube, PixelFed, don't have any moving implemented at all. Like, you can't move anything. There is no software for it. There's no features for it. It's not defined. And that's not the only issues. There are issues with the protocol, for example. When the World Wide Web Consortium created the ActivityPub protocol, it created it out of a vision for a generic protocol, a generic use case. And back then in 2018, nobody had an idea what that even meant. So they had to create a protocol before they could imagine a use case for it. They don't have a specific use case, they had the use case of any multimedia platform should be compatible with this. So what they did was create a very bare bones protocol. And how did they do it? They are sending JSON with HTML implemented as a string inside the JSON. Now, for anyone who has played Capture the Flags before, you notice this is XSS as a service. If you don't filter that HTML yourself, which is not a trivial thing to do, and that's also why it's very hard to develop apps and servers for the Fediverse, you have an automatic XSS attack. If you try to pass that HTML inside an app, inside a web app, anyone could just send a string tag, a script tag, and if you don't filter that script tag out, now you have some arbitrary JSON running on the client. And because of that bare-bonesness I mentioned before, we also have a limited standard feature set. We just have activities and actors, and that's it. But we can extend it. Here are some extension examples. For example, quotes. Quotes were not implemented inside activities. There is no defined field to quote another post or to quote another activity. Also, cat ears. As you've maybe seen on some platforms, you can have cat ears on your account, on your actor. And the mentioned account and post migration I mentioned before, is also not standardized. Neither are lists or antennas, but all of these get federated. So let's look at some technical examples. For example, here we have an actor. Like mentioned before, it's JSON and some amped HTML. In this example, you can't see the HTML really, but for example here, the name could include HTML, which also is not standardized at all. But the actor has multiple things. Obviously, in the JSON we see a context. The context is just a clear definition, this is ActivityPub. Then we have a type. We have a person here. Because an actor can be multiple things, we can define multiple types of actors. But the bad thing is, in practice, this isn't used. In theory, you could define organization there, person, or anything else, but Mastodon, Miski, IceShrimp, Firefish, you name it, they will all just parse it the same. They will just completely ignore the field. Then we have an ID. Every actor needs a specific ID. To be honest, the ID can be anything. That's not interesting. Because the ID just needs to be unique. But in practice, what every Fediverse software ever does is put an HTML, HTTP link here to the URL where you can find that profile on the software. And this ID, by the way, then gets fed into Webfinger, if you ever heard of Webfinger. It gets fed into there, and then it gets another URL out there, which then can be used to get this specific actor JSON. It then gets a specific JSON link. The name, as said before, is just the name as it's displayed on the account, on your app, on your web app, no matter what. It can include HTML, it can include anything, actually. The software just needs to be smart enough to pass that. Then we have a preferred username. This is very funny because preferred username just refers to handle. It's literally just the handle the account has. The summary is the bio account can have. Inbox and outbox are where you can find the posts from an account. That's the outbox. And the inbox is where posts that account can receive should be redirected to. So for example, if you want to mention an account on the Fediverse, what you do is, you, as shown later, you include this outbox link in the activity. So then the server who receives that activity knows that it has to notify that specific actor to tell them, hey, here's a post for you. Followers and following is self-explanatory. That's links to lists of who that account follows and who follows that account. The same for the liked link, which funnily enough is standardized, even though everything else you can find on Mastodon isn't. Now we have another example. We have an actor with cat ears. And what we do when you want to add features to an actor or to an activity is we just include it inside of that JSON. Here we have an isCat field added and we set it to true, and that just means we have a Boolean inside of that actor that says, yes, that actor should have cat ears displayed on their account profile. And what Mastodon, for example, now does is they just ignore that field. So no matter what garbage you add to that JSON, if it's not interesting to the platform, it just ignores it. Now, for another example, we have a post. Here, as mentioned before, we have an attributed to and a to. This is very interesting because attributed to and to are two different things. Attributed to means the user who wrote it. To means the user who gets notified of that post's existence. What's difficult here is attributed to could be understood as the user who should get notified or like who it should be delivered to, but that is defined by to. When you make a public post, by the way, that to can have multiple things. That's why it is an array. When you do a direct message, this will just have the people you mentioned. When you do a public post without a mention, this will just include a link to your followers. And when you do a public post with a mention inside, you will have all the people you mentioned in the array and your followers. Like, with followers, I mean the link followers as shown here. So you will, for example, have social.example/Alyssa/followers inside that array. Then, we have an activity that is the creation of a post, because that is a specific activity that now gets that actually gets delivered. Because before we had an activity of the type node, and now we have an activity of the type create. When a server fetches a post, they will just get the activity of type node. But when you create a node, they will get an activity of the type create that includes an object of the type node. Now, why are we doing this? It's a little bit difficult to explain, but basically, the type create gets only sent out when one creates a node. So this activity now will get sent to everyone who follows you when you create a post. When you receive a post using a boost, like one of your followers boosts a post instead, they will get an activity of the type shared, I think. I'm not sure right now. All these terms are a bit difficult, and I need to look it up every time, because the types have nothing to do with the terms we actually use when we program UI or UX for the user, because all of these things are just arbitrary terms that got used at the standardization of the ActivityPub protocol, and that's also another reason of why it's hard for us to like get people interested in developing ActivityPub applications. But let's go back to the example. We have the ID, which is a unique ID. In this case, it's a UUID V4, and we send it to Ben, because the node we have below is sent to Ben to ask him if he finished reading that book, and we need to obviously inform him that post got created, because Ben lives on a different server than Alyssa. And the server will not get informed of the creation of the post otherwise. And when he gets that info that the post is created, he then can create that post locally and show it in Ben's timeline and Ben's notifications. Now, why do we even go through the hassle of creating something like that? Why are we doing federation? We have one prominent example right now, and that is Twitter. Twitter got bought by Elon Musk, and Elon Musk did many changes to Twitter, which made it unable to be used by developers, and which also made many people angry for other reasons. And with a federated protocol and federated servers, we don't have that issue. If one server gets taken over by a bad entity, or one server disappears, for example, because the company behind that server goes bankrupt, there is still enough servers out there. There are still more than enough servers to be used. And everyone who wants to have their own server and who wants to have reign over their server can create a server. And so we, for example, can create servers with special interests for special individuals. So we can have a server for the LGBTQIA community, we can have a Linux server, we can have a server for everyone from the Green Party. And why aren't we doing peer-to-peer? We want every instance to be reachable 24/7. And like with email, we also want every instance to have a domain, so every user can be reached with a memorizable handle. For example, else you would need every user to have specific static IP address, and then you would need to refer to that IP address instead. And that is not easy for the end user. And if you would do that with domains, every user would need to buy a domain, and that would get expensive quick. Now, what did I talk about? I talked about the Activity Pub protocol being a protocol by the World Wide Web Consortium, us having many different servers with different features, and us also having many issues with the ActivityPub protocol that need to be solved. And we need to solve that in the future very quickly, because the goal for every ActivityPub developer is to have a platform that for users to be interested in, to have a platform that is interesting for companies, that is interesting for people, for organizations, for everyone, that everyone wants to join. Because if nobody joins the ActivityPub protocol and nobody develops things for the ActivityPub protocol, it will die out. It's that easy. It will just die out. And we don't want that. We want to have the ActivityPub protocol as a striving new way to share social media, to share blog posts, to share videos, to share information. And we want that platform to be independent from any company. We want an independent platform, so nobody can have to reign over it, and we get free information for free people. And we also had a look at the technical aspects and how the ActivityPub protocol is structured. So for example, with actors being specified for persons and activities being specified for posts. Are there any questions?
Thank you for your presentation. Are there any questions? We have one already.
Thank you for your talk. I have two questions. The first one would be, you've been talking about the peer-to-peer approach. I mean, there are concepts of this, like secure scuttlebutt and so on, which exists for many years by now, but they never got as popular as Mastodon became in the end. What are your thoughts about that, or on that topic?
Yes, my thoughts on the topic are that it's just a big overhead. Like, for example, I don't know how many people you follow, but you might follow 400 people or something. On my old instance, I followed 2,000 people at a time, and that server, you want to keep that server, your instance, constantly online, so you receive all these posts. And ActivityPub has a strategy, or most servers have the strategy, of just delaying the delivery of that activity if it fails. So when my server had a downtime for 2 hours, there were like 100,000 activities piling up. And now it depends. An ice shrimp in Firefish, for example, getting up to speed is actually quite fast on that scale. Like, it would take maybe 30 minutes, 15 minutes, something like that, for all these 100,000 activities to be processed and put into the database. But in a peer-to-peer approach, you need to do this on your end device. And now, if we look at Mastodon, for example, Mastodon is written in Ruby, which isn't quite fast. So there is already a really big bottleneck on the server side and on a pretty hefty server. And now, imagining that on a phone, for example, that's just not feasible. And even storing all these posts is just not feasible. So that's why I think having this federated approach just makes much more sense than a peer-to-peer approach in that regard.
Thank you. My second question is, do you think the both topics you mentioned, file sharing and instant messaging, that ActivityPub is the right protocol for that?
Yes. Okay, so the protocol is tricky to use for that. That's why there is no simple instant messaging there. But I think ActivityPub has a chance to get popular for instant messaging and file sharing. File sharing on one end, I would imagine it having the core file to not be federated, but rather people doing something similar, like with the instant messaging approach, I will just explain in a few seconds, to just share the access to that file. So there will be, I imagine there to be a URL and a few keys or something to access that file. And these will just get shared to the followers or to the other people with access to that directory. And if you now want to download that file, you just go to your own instance and you will just like have a button to press download on a file, and then some JavaScript magic or something happens, and that file will get streamed through your own instance to your client. So we will have like a download, or you could have like a download where the server where the file is hosted streams it to you using some authentication method. Obviously, the authentication could be that your own instance just says, okay, this IP of the user should be authenticated to download the file and then it downloads directly from the source server. That could also be a method. And with instant messaging, I think a similar approach could be done. You could use some key sharing method to share a private and a public key or something like that, or some other encryption method. And then once the keys are authenticated, you can easily just send activities and with an encrypted content. So the core activity with like just like Matrix could be unencrypted. So it could be, for example, you would have all the metadata unencrypted and have all the core data encrypted. So then you would share an activity and the server would know, yes, it needs to be delivered to person XY. And then the server delivers that to that person, and that person's client unencrypts it. That's basically also how Matrix does it at the moment. And I think that could be done easily. And that could actually be a competitor to Matrix, because the current issue Matrix has is that it's notoriously easy to break encryption in. So I have multiple times I've encountered encryption randomly breaking when sending a single message, and to users it doesn't send a signal of being secure, at least not to everyone, because some things like that can easily be exploited.
We have another question over here.
Yeah, so you mentioned like a lot of instances being focused on a certain topic. And honestly, this is something that really, really annoys me in the Fediverse, that I've got the feeling, okay, I've got to have at least 25 Mastodon accounts because I speak like 4 languages and I'm interested not only in Linux, but in cycling and in local politics and in federal politics and in European politics and in, I don't know, internet politics. And I've got the feeling, okay, each other day I pick another instance to do one post because, yeah, like people tend to be separated according to topics, right? Like, what's the solution to this? I feel like this is broken.
I think it is broken on a yesn't base. So what issue we have right now is people want to create instances. Like when you're an instance owner, you want to create an instance that people get interested in. How do you do that? You pick an interesting topic. But what qualities an instance really has is in moderation and things like that. So when you pick an instance, your core concerns should be, how is the moderation on that instance? What are the rules on that instance? Is there any drama surrounding that specific instance? And what custom emojis does that instance deliver for you to use? Because at the end, the instance name is just a handle. So if you want a funny handle, you pick a funny instance. And the issue with, for example, an instance being being focused around Linux and another instance being focused around the language Spanish, for example, is just that these instances have a bit of a too small scope. They usually should be a wider scope, like be safe for a specific community and their interests. For example, when you have an LGBTQ instance, that specific instance doesn't disallow you to post on about anything else. It's just that that specific instance allows you or allows LGBTQ people to have a safe environment for posting and for their messages to be interacted with. So racist instances, homophobic instances, and transphobic instances will get blocked away from that, for example. And you should handle instances like that. Your instance is just a home. You need to pick a home which is safe for you, which you feel welcome in. And from there on, you can do anything you want. Instances should just have a specific topic of moderation, or a specific topic of a community, because your instance is just a community. You have a local timeline for that reason. The reason that local timeline exists is so posts from your community that might interest you can be easily displayed to you, and you have an easy time finding them. That's basically all the instance is for. And if you just want to rule yourself and are not really interested in finding a community to fit into, then I would really just recommend hosting your own instance.
All right, we have time for maybe one more question. But I think our audience is satiated for now. Then let's give another round of applause to our speaker.